Today's reading is from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 6, and can be found in your service sheets. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Saviour, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. This has now been witnessed to at the proper time.
Rachel, thank you so much for reading. Well, do just keep that reading in your hands, because today we're celebrating the coronation that happened yesterday. We're wanting to give thanks to God for our new king. Here's a question for the younger ones. Does anyone know the name of our new king? This isn't the hardest question. Yeah. What have we got there? King Charles III. Got it. Nailed it. Absolutely. That's the king we're talking about. And here's a photo of him looking super relaxed before he was crowned yesterday. He's got a throne, you can see, but he hasn't got a crown. He got that yesterday. And here's a picture of him, what he looked like. I don't know if you saw that. Here he is looking absolutely thrilled to be crowned. Yes, that's a pretty serious occasion, so we can give him that. But our reading that we just heard, that Rachel read for us, from the Bible, it tells us the most important thing that we can do for our new king. I don't know if you spotted that. It's in verse 2, where you see the little number 2 there. It says, you should pray for kings and for all those in authority. Pray for the leaders so that we can have quiet and peaceful lives, lives full of worship and respect for God. We should pray for King Charles III, because he is a king. And it says we should pray for kings. He's in authority. He's the one who's in charge of our country. What should we pray? Well, it tells us what we should pray for him. Pray that we can have a quiet life, quiet and peaceful lives, lives full of worship and respect for God. So do you see what that's saying? We should pray that King Charles does a really good job of being a king, of reigning over us, so that we can enjoy quiet and peaceful lives, so we can live lives that are full of worship and respect for God. So actually, in praying for the king like this, we're really praying for ourselves. We're praying that, especially under King Charles's rule, Christians would be able to do this. We'll be able to be free to gather together to worship God in a country that doesn't. I don't know if you watched any of yesterday's coronation service at Westminster Abbey. It's not everybody's sort of thing, not everyone's cup of tea. But for all the pomp and ceremony that went on there yesterday, it was unmistakably Christian from start to finish. That is remarkable in our increasingly secular culture, that the ceremony to make our new king was so Christian. And that actually helps us here at little old St. Peter's, with a lot less pomp and ceremony, let's be honest. It means that if that's happening there then this can happen here and now. We can worship and gather together to worship the God that we believe in week by week and in our daily lives. So here's the first prayer we should pray for King Charles. It's really a prayer for ourselves. Why don't we do that? Why don't we not talk about prayer, but why don't we actually do that? Why don't we pray together now? The words are up on the screen. Here's our first prayer together. Dear God, please help King Charles do a good job as king. Brilliant. That's the first thing that we should pray for King Charles. The second is in, if you look in verse 2, back in our reading, you should pray for kings, that first bit. And then if you look at verse 4, God wants all people to be saved. So God wants us to pray for kings, and God wants all people to be saved. So we should pray for King Charles to be saved. And do you know what? That is something that I reckon most of us have done already without ever realizing it. Every time we sing the national anthem, we ask God to save the king. It's only got 7 lines, and 3 of them are asking God to save the king. That's how important it is. So here's the second prayer that we could pray for King Charles. Very simple prayer. And this is a prayer for him, not for us. Why don't we say this prayer together? Dear God, please save King Charles. Amen. Now, King Charles was very, very busy yesterday. He had a really packed schedule. But I heard a rumor that he was coming to church today and that he chose this church to come to. Can you believe that? Your Majesty, how kind of you to visit humble St. Peter's after such a busy day yesterday. I can see you haven't even had time to change or take off your crown. Okay, great. Hand signals are fine. No need to talk. You must be exhausted. Actually, do you know what? We were just talking about you because the Bible tells us that we should pray for you. Shall we tell the king what we are going to pray for him? Okay, here's the first one. Dear God, please help King Charles do a good job as king. Amen. I think we've got slightly different prayers going on there, but that's the first prayer. And if we're honest, Your Majesty, that's really a prayer for ourselves. We're asking God to help you be such a good king so that we can carry on being Christians here at St. Peter's in this country, worshipping God. But we've got another prayer that the Bible says that we should pray for you. Do you want to hear it? Okay, shall we show King Charles our other prayer? Let's do it together. Dear God, please save King Charles. Amen. Okay, you like that one too. How does God answer that prayer? How does he answer that prayer when we pray it? Have a look with me at verse 4. God wants all people to be saved, including King Charles, and he wants everyone to know the truth. Well, what is that truth that he wants everyone to know? Have a look at the next verse, verse 5. There is only one God, and there is only one way that people can reach God, and that way is through Jesus Christ. There's only one God. There's only one way to reach that God, and that is through Jesus Christ. That's the truth that God wants everyone to know so that they can be saved. No way! Imagine Jesus coming to St. Peter's as well as the king. Whew. Thought he wasn't going to turn up for a moment there. Where was I? No way! First of all, King Charles, and now Jesus comes to St. Peter's. What a Sunday. Actually, the truth is, Jesus is here every Sunday by his Spirit, but we don't normally see King Charles. That is a special Sunday. Jesus, this says what we've just been reading, that God wants everyone to know the truth, that there's only one God, that there's only one way to reach that God, and that that way is you. How do you do that?
Well, I think it's in verse 6.
Oh, okay. Being told. Verse 6 says, Jesus gave himself to pay for the sins of all people. Jesus is proof that God wants all people to be saved, and that proof came at the right time. So Jesus, that's saying, you're the proof and you're the payment for all people to be saved. How does that work?
Well, the payment of sin is death. And that I died on the cross for those sins is proof that God wants all people to be saved.
So, if I'm following what you're saying, how that might work for King Charles here, just like everyone else, he's got sins. There they are. Those are the things that he's done wrong, even as a king. Those are the ways that he said no to God, even though he's a king. And if what you're saying is right, it's saying that he can be saved and he can find a way to God if he gives you those sins for you to pay for them. And you take those sins and you pay for them by dying on the cross. This is the way that God saves King Charles, that our prayer for him would be answered. In fact, this is the way, this is the only way that God saves anyone, can save you, can save me. We need to give our sins, the things that we've done wrong, the ways that we've said no to God, we need to give them to Jesus, for him to pay for them in dying on the cross. That is the way to be saved by God. Now, to help us remember that, because that is so important, I've got a really short chant for us all to say and with some actions. And very kindly, King Charles and Jesus are going to help me with those actions. Two thumbs up there. Okay, we ready? So, we'll show you what it looks like and then we can do it together. There is only one God. There is only one way to that God, Jesus. He is the proof. He is the payment. Okay, super simple. I think we can do that all together. And we can say it all together as well, okay? There is only one God. There is only one way to God, Jesus. He's the proof. He's the payment. Let's try it again, shall we? There is only one God. There is only one way to God, Jesus. He's the proof. He's the payment. Brilliant. Well done. And well, a big round of applause to His Majesty. Jesus, thank you very much, guys. Well, there we go. We've been thinking about the most important thing that we could do for our new king, to pray for him to be a good king for us and for God to save him, and how God might do that, not just for the king, but for us too. I had an idea, just as a way of, if you like, doing that one more time, is that we could do it by singing. So I'm going to ask the band to come back up, and by singing the first verse of the national anthem. It's not something we usually do here at St. Peter's, but can I suggest we don't sing it as the national anthem, but we sing it as a prayer, and that three times we ask God to do what we've just been talking about, to save the king. And as we're singing it as a prayer, if King Charles isn't your king, and if singing the national anthem isn't your thing, don't say our king, say their king. But still say it, because we're praying it. And it's something that we want God to do. So why don't we stand, and we're going to sing this next song as a prayer.